This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
March 2019. Join the hard-charging fanboys as they celebrate Marvel Studios' release of Captain Marvel with Captain Marvel Month.
Place to Be Nation, welcome to another mobile edition of the Hard Traveling Fanboys.
Is it not a Mob Town edition?
It very well may be, because I, Gregory Phillips, MD, am calling to you. I'm not a doctor. I can't lie about that. But I am calling to you live on location in the 251, as locals call it. That's right.
If you were a doctor, you would have lost someone's baby today. After seeing as how you went and saw Beverly and her
Beverly
beautiful Palominos.
That's right. I am Greg Phillips, and I'm calling to you from Mobile, Alabama, my old stomping grounds, to Nick, who is in the hard traveling studios, Hoholoon Plaza in Vancouver, British Columbia. Nick, it's a nice spring day down here in the southern part of the United States. How is it up in Canada?
Oh, it's wonderful. It's beautifully and cold, which is what we're always looking for.
Absolutely. Getting ready for those, I'm assuming the locals anyway, are getting ready for those hockey playoffs coming up soon?
Yeah, hockey. The Leafs and the Winnipeg and
The Canucks.
Canucks, yep. There you go. The Oilers. Yeah, the Oilers,
yes,
are.
The Montreal Canadiens.
Canadiens, yeah. Hockey. Ice. Sticks.
Mm-hmm. There's the, if I remember correctly about ice hockey, Nick, there's the skinny guy, the medium guy, and the fat guy, right?
Yeah.
They skate back and forth, and they mm-hmm. get into a little cartoonish brawl in the middle of the screen, mm-hmm. and if you tap A and B enough, you'll win the brawl, and then their guy has to go to the penalty box.
Well, I am of the belief that if you make enough stops, if your goalie saves enough, he turns into a literal brick wall. He is able to transmute his body into a brick wall. Mm. That's what I had learned. So
interesting. Very interesting. But we're not here to talk to you this week. Oh, that's Nick, by the way. Nick Duke.
Hi.
We're not here to talk to you this week about ice hockey or Palominos or Beverly. We're here to talk to you about Captain Marvel Month, which rolls on just like Raw during the middle of a 15-minute match. We are here to bring you the second Longbook Hunters episode of the month here in Captain Marvel Month. And this one moves us from the early 80s and Marvel into the modern era here in 2012 with the launch of a brand new volume of Captain Marvel by writer Kelly Sue DeConnick that would transform Carol Danvers from her longtime moniker of Miss Marvel into becoming Captain Marvel, taking over the legacy of Mar-Vell, who, of course, passed away from lung, liver, and pancreatic cancer. Nick, what are your thoughts and knowledge on Carol Danvers? She, of course, is going to be the star, or is the star, of the new Marvel Cinematic Universe film, Captain Marvel. What's your knowledge base on Carol, the Carol Corps, if you will, and the general Captain Marvel universe beyond Mar-Vell, who we discussed on this very program a week ago?
Well, the Carol Corps is her fan base, is all I know about that.
Mm-hmm.
But Carol herself, as I think we talked about a little bit before, I've been introduced to over on the Marvel Age podcast. She popped up as a supporting character in the pages of Captain Marvel, a supporting character for Mar-Vell, right there from his very first appearance, and was a mainstay in his solo title for some time. We've kind of talked about it on that show, how right out of the gate, she kind of differentiated herself from pretty much every other female supporting character in 60s Marvel. She had authority, she had power, she had agency in her own story. She was not simply there to be a damsel in distress. She was not preoccupied with what she was going to wear. She was not preoccupied with how to please all the men around her at any given time. From the jump, she was a well-defined, strong female character. And over the years, it's only grown more so. And so back in 2012, she kind of got the big call up as she finally, after years toiling under the name of Miss Marvel, with Mar-Vell long since deceased, finally got a new costume and took on the name Captain Marvel and has kind of already in just the last short 7 years become the definitive Captain Marvel for a lot of comic readers.
Indeed. And we should mention that there were a few other Captains Marvel before mm-hmm. Carol. I'm not sure all of them. Either one was Monica Rambeau, who was Captain Marvel at one point in the, I think, the 80s. And then there was somebody named, I think, Phyla Vell.
I think it's Genus Vell.
Genus Vell and Phyla Vell later, who became Captains Marvel. But there's one that really has usurped the others in the popular consciousness, and that is Carol Danvers. Marvel has gotten behind her in an attempt to plug what is, quite frankly, an issue in the Marvel Universe, which is that they don't really have a Wonder Woman in Marvel. They don't have that one lead, iconic, solo woman. For many years, the most popular female hero in Marvel was probably Storm. Mm-hmm. And she's part of an ensemble, obviously. So Carol is a chance for Marvel to sort of carve out their Wonder Woman, their icon, their standalone woman that can, you know, sell her own monthly title and be on the cover of video games and posters for years to come. And without getting ahead of ourselves, Nick, I think after the most recent movie that's just come out, I think they're going to have that with her.
Yes.
So we wanted to kind of having very little, at least from my standpoint, I have no knowledge of Carol Danvers. I've never read before this. I had never read a Captain Marvel comic in my life. Other than the death of Captain Marvel last week, I have not read anything with Carol Danvers in it outside of maybe some isolated Avengers issues here and there. So I was going in mostly blind outside of the Marvel Ultimate Alliance games, which were really my only exposure to Carol other than, you know, the Civil War storyline and things like that that we've covered on the show. So I was coming in with a little bit of a blank slate. I knew that she was a fighter pilot. I knew that she shared some similarities with one of our favorite DC characters, Hal Jordan, but I didn't know much beyond that shared fighter pilot history that defined Carol's character. So in this volume, which is by writer Kelly Sue DeConnick and artist Dexter Soy and Nick?
The Dodsons. Yeah, Terry Dodson, I believe, is the name of one of the other interior artists who does the last two issues. Let me check on that name. Yeah.
Yes. Something along those lines.
Excuse me. Yeah. Penciler Terry Dodson. Interior, it only lists colorist Jordy Belair. It does not list an interior penciler, so I'm assuming it's also the Dodsons, but, you know, Marvel Unlimited, it is what it is. Emma Maria Rios Monero did the last issue. Emma Maria Rios Monero did the last issue. So there you go. Dodson's on the cover, Monero on the interiors.
There you go. So rather than serve as sort of an origin story of Carol Danvers, we kind of get a little bit of her origin through flashback over the course of this story. But it's really picking us up about and the first issue in particular is really about the transition of Carol Danvers from Miss Marvel to Captain Marvel. This is telling us why she makes that decision, what that decision entails, and her really coming to terms with and finding herself and accepting herself as the new Captain Marvel. That's really what this is. It's a story of a character finding herself and accepting herself for who she is and what her new status quo will be. Because here in the first volume, she's still Miss Marvel when it starts, and she's got that sort of wisecracking, ultra-confident personality. And that we were kind of familiar with even through reading her in the Avengers book that we read from George Perez and Kurt Busiek last year. So we were kind of familiar with a little bit of the confidence and the arrogance that Carol can have at times. And that shows through here as Miss Marvel. And then it's actually a suggestion from Captain America that sort of puts the nugget in her head to become Captain Marvel. And you know, that over the course of this story, we also meet her, sort of her inspirations, including her former boss at Women Magazine, I believe it is, Nick.
Yes, I believe so.
And she's a cancer patient. Carol is pretty much completely supporting at this point. And then we also meet Carol's primary heroic inspiration, which is a fighter pilot named or a pilot rather named Helen Cobb, who she grew up idolizing because Helen Cobb was one of the great female pilots in the Marvel Universe. And really just pilots in general, not just female pilots. She set all kinds of records and all this stuff. And over the course of this story, it kind of shocked me, Nick. It came out of left field to me that it turns out to be a time travel story, which mm-hmm. I was not expecting. After the first chapter, this entire book becomes a time travel story as Carol jumps from the 40s to the 60s to the present day, kind of ping-ponging back and forth at times between different years mm-hmm. and even through what is – in real time would have been the, I think, early 70s or late mm-hmm. 60s. And in Marvel time is however long ago it was that she got her powers.
Marvel generally works on a 15-year sliding scale from what I've been led to believe. So, you know, 10 years before the events of this, probably somewhere in that neighborhood.
Somewhere around there. Captain Marvel is Marvel is, you know, fighting Yon Rogg, mm-hmm. who we talked about last week, and a wishing machine explodes and grants Carol Danvers the powers that she wished for to save everybody in the situation. So now we've got her ping-ponging back to that moment, also meeting the Banshee pilots in the 1940s. There's a group of women who were kind of left to fend for themselves against the Japanese, who for some reason had advanced Kree weaponry. And then in the 60s, she meets a young Helen Cobb and kind of helps her infiltrate and steal some technology that was of Kree descent as well, which also plays into that 40s stuff we talked about. So, Nick, what were your thoughts on the sort of structure of this story? Obviously, the first chapter is kind of what it is. It's setting the stage for what her characterization is and who her supporting cast is. What were your thoughts on the overall plot here?
You know, I wasn't expecting it. You know, I was thinking, much like you, I imagine, I was thinking that we were going to get something a little bit more cosmic in nature, given the nature of her powers and kind of taking on that name, Captain Marvel. But ultimately, I kind of enjoyed it. You know, it was not mm-hmm. difficult to follow. It didn't overstay its welcome in any particular era. And ultimately, it kind of built up to be this really, really interesting kind of snapshot of Carol's early years. Because when this book starts, you're kind of reading it, and I felt like I wasn't lost because I kind of had a basic understanding of who Carol was, but it wasn't exactly jumping you on with a fresh new starting point.
Right.
You kind of were meeting Carol in progress. But what it does through this issue is kind of show you Carol different eras of the history that have built her up to being this. So it's almost like a backdoor origin in a way. So I dug it. Thought it was unique and interesting, and in that comics way, kind of with that chicken or the egg time travel scenario of did she always kick off this loop that ultimately led to her, you know, creation, or was it mm-hmm. a one-time thing, or the kind of thing that'll make your head spin if you think about it too much. So yeah, dug it.
Yeah, it was also unexpected to me. I mean, there were a couple times early on where I was kind of like still trying to get a grasp for who she was and what her characterization was. But I appreciated the fact that they dropped me in and kind of gave us a little bit of that through flashbacks. Carol has flashbacks to getting her powers. She has flashbacks to meeting key figures in her life. And we get to see even a little bit of her brother. We find out through dialogue or through inner monologue about, you know, the tragedy that she's had in her life, that one of her brothers has passed away. And instantly I was like, I want to know more about this brother that died. You know, mm-hmm. I want to know, I guess because we're used to the sort of modern, every hero has a tragic origin thing that I was kind of programmed to think, man, I want to know more about this brother. How did this brother's death affect her? You know? And I think we get a lot of that through dialogue and a lot of really good writing from Kelly Sue DeConnick here. I've not read much of her comics work, actually.
I think this might have been my first thing I've read by her, and I know she recently took over Aquaman, and I'm months behind on comics. But I can tell you, after reading this, it makes me much more interested in that Aquaman run, because conceptually, as we've discussed, you know, the whole Aquaman has amnesia thing has kind of been done to death, and I wasn't that into it. But after reading this, I'm much more into it than I was before.
Yes, I agree with that. I thought the same thing. I had the same thoughts about that premise for Aquaman. The same thought of this is like, if this is how she writes consistently, I'm all for it. Because I thought her dialogue was really good. I thought her her sense of establishing a setting, a time, and a place was very good. And you know, there were times, and I can totally see. Not that they're the same or even that similar, I guess, in writing style. But you know, she's married to Matt Fraction,
mm-hmm.
and I can see some of the same sort of sensibilities with regards to writing characters that mm-hmm. they both have. And I got that impression with Carol, the way that I got with Fraction's Hawkeye, where both of them are these, they both have these very strong, very well-defined personalities that are established from Jump Street pretty much. And I also love that this was a story where Carol has to overcome some of her own doubts about herself more than anything else. There's, you know, even though there's a twist in the story about the villain later on, there's never really that much of a physical threat to Carol in this story. She's pretty well, you know, she can handle herself. It's those around her that are in trouble for most of the story. And her being willing to just fully embrace what she is now and what she needs to be going forward. I thought it was really well told from that perspective. And what about the timelines in particular? Was there one that caught your eye or one that kind of was less interesting than the others? What were your thoughts on the three, I guess, or four distinct timelines?
Well, I mean, the modern context was of course interesting because, you know, I wanted to get more into Carol, but of the time travel mm-hmm. ones, I was kind of into that little buddy cop thing she had going on with the younger version of Cobb when they were running Agreed. Around trying to do stuff. That was probably my favorite. Yep. The World War II stuff would probably be second, and then the 70s stuff would probably be last of the three. Was there a fourth that I'm missing?
No, well, I would count modern.
Okay, yeah, modern I'm kind of putting off on its own. But if we're just talking time travel stuff, yeah, I would say the Cobb stuff, the World War II stuff, and then the other stuff at the bottom. That World War II stuff, though, I will say one thing I loved is in the story they show you that one lady, Daisy, I believe, doodling on a piece of paper, and then at the end of the comic, I don't know if it was in your collected edition or not, they actually end it with like an old like 40s, 50s style newspaper comic short. Of like original creation that she created that is clearly based on her interactions with Carol. I just thought that was a really cool way to work in like a little backup feature that ultimately doesn't really add a ton to the story, but just a cool detail to drop in.
Totally agree. I thought that was cool. I definitely agree that the I guess thing was 1961 stuff with Cobb and Carol kind of you know, both competing with one another. And also kind of in a buddy cop situation mm-hmm. was really fun. The 40s stuff I was kind of up and down on because some of it rang like cliches a little bit at times. But I did appreciate that you mentioned the comic strip that they threw in was really cool. And I appreciated that they called back to that era throughout the remainder of the book. I thought that was the fact that it wasn't meaningless. It wasn't a pointless stop in the journey. It actually meant something to Carol and meant something building her going forward. The artist for the bulk of this story, I believe, is Dexter Soy. Yes. And I thought he did a good job. It was, mm-hmm. it's a different style of art than maybe I'm used to. And I think he's probably better today than he was then when he was doing this book, but mm-hmm. it's still good. And I thought he did a good job in particular of managing the action sequences along the way.
I was about to say, it's interesting because I agree with you, he did a good job, but I almost felt like the book didn't take full advantage of what he did best because I thought he was mm-hmm. always at his best when Carol was in full-on badass mode, when she was flying around, you know, shooting the photon blasts and being a cosmic superhero. That's when his art really shined to me. But this book, I mean, not that it wasn't good, because the writing of it was great, had a lot of quieter character moments between Carol and these various women she encounters over the years. And those, while he was still good, those were not the pop-off-the-page moments for me. And so I felt like it could have used, just to let him shine a little bit more, just a tad bit more of Carol Unleashed, I think. But maybe we get that in future volumes. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe so. I agree with you on that. And then I will – if I have a criticism here – that did stick out to me. I thought the and I forget the artist's name already, but the artist on the last chapter in particular of this story, I thought pretty weak compared to the rest. It was jarring to follow at times. There's this what's supposed to be the climactic action sequence of the book where Carol and the villain that I don't want to spoil are sort of racing each other to get to this plane. And I thought it was about as non-dynamic of a climactic action scene as I've read in a comic book recently. It was pretty static. I never really got the impression of motion on the page. And so that was one, I think, disappointment about the book is I thought that climactic showdown should have been a little bit more dynamic than it was, than a couple of grabs of a shirt here or there or whatever. But again, it's a minor thing, and I really enjoy the story overall and would be interested in reading more of DeConnick's take on Carol.
Yeah, we say this a lot and we never do it, but this is definitely one where I want to read more of this. I've heard or read numerous reviews that say, as far as her run goes, the beginning is kind of the weak point. And if that's the case, I definitely want to see more of this.
Absolutely, yeah. And, you know, stuff like that, the artistic direction, that can get cleared up as a run goes on and you get more of a established of what kind of book you want to have and everything.
Artists are more prone to turnover than writers are just because of the amount of detail and effort and time that goes into their work. So I'm sure, you know, other artistic pairings probably yielded better results. I just got to go out there and find them.
And I'm also curious about Carol building a rogues gallery because I don't know who her enemies are, you know, outside of what I saw in the movie. Obviously, the villain that she encounters here is kind of a one-time, one-time encounter. So I'm curious to see who her villains are more on a permanent basis because there's a lot of potential there to sort of build a world from the ground up, if you will, for a character, build a world of villains for a character here, unless she inherits Captain Marvel's rogue gallery from the 70s. I don't know.
Nobody knows.
But in any event, yeah. So I think both of us are giving this book a thumbs up. I think we both enjoyed it. And as far as sort of volumes to launch a character, I think this is a really good way to do it because for those longtime Carol Danvers fans, there wasn't anything here that felt like slowing down and overly explaining it to a new audience. But for those of us who didn't have much of a knowledge base of Carol, there was still enough care for us taken to make sure that we knew what was going on.
Kind of a great balance between the two approaches. Like if you're going to consider something like Secret Origins, Green Lantern Secret Origins, you could put that in the hand of anybody and it pretty much takes you from the beginning. Or you could do the Busick Perez Avengers thing where it kind of drops you in. This is kind of the middle ground between those two approaches, in my view anyway.
Mm-hmm. Totally. So yeah, really good book. Enjoyed it. Curious to read more. I would get, if we were giving out a letter grade, which we don't ever do, and I don't know why we would do it now, but if we were the kind of people to give out a letter grade, I would give it a solid B to B plus.
I'd probably go A minus on this. I like this a lot. I think it's a, you know, as always, there's the element of expectation playing in, and I didn't know what to expect. And my expectations were fairly low given the little bit of Captain Marvel that I had read. So, you know, this exceeded my expectations.
I had pretty high expectations, and I think it mostly met those expectations. So I would say a B plus would be a fair grade, I think. I enjoyed this volume. So
if you were giving it a store rating, what would you do there?
Well, I'd have to go about, I'd say 3.5 stars on that one, Nick.
Ooh, I might go 3.75 or maybe even 4 stars on that bad boy. We'll have to think about that.
What would Dave Meltzer give it if it were in the Tokyo Dome?
Probably 5. Probably a 5-star book in the Tokyo Dome, I think.
Very good. Very good. Well, with that being said, we're going to continue Captain Marvel week from now. Captain Marvel month. Yes, thank you. A week from now. Easy for me to say. With our exclusive review. By exclusive, I mean exclusively us. The only place you can hear us reviewing this movie.
But and you can, of course, hear a wonderful review.
Yes,
absolutely. Elsewhere.
Probably a better and more qualified review. But
of course,
we are going to give you our thoughts on the Captain Marvel film next week on this very show, on these very airwaves. And then we're going to follow it up by concluding, I think, Captain Marvel. No, not concluding. No. I take it back.
Yes.
We're going to follow that up by continuing Captain Marvel Month with a look at an animated film starring Kamala Khan, a.k.a. Miss Marvel. Mm-hmm. So be on the lookout for that. And I guess that since we're doing a shorter edition than usual, Nick, we should also give a little bit of promotion to some of our other shows right here on Place to Be Nation Pop, right?
We should do that. And I you know, it would be wonderful if I knew a way to do that. So,
and I'm currently buying time for just such a purpose right now.
Greg, well, we had a busy week on the Pop feed with a little bit of something for everyone. The Great Debate number 4 dropped with host Andy Atherton welcoming in Russell Seller, David Sam, Jason Sherman, and Steve Patty to debate subjects across a spectrum of topics.
That's a great point, Nick. And then, not to be left out, of course, over on the wrestling feed, we got the Place to Be podcast, brand new this week, with special guest, it looks like, here, according to this here sheet, Peter Winson to talk about the main event from February of 1989.
Mm-hmm. We also, of course, have Talking Pop on the Pop feed with Tim and Jenny suffering for our entertainment with a live watch of My Father the Hero.
Yes, that wonderful Gerard Depardieu action. Meanwhile, not to be left out yet again, is our crew over the main event. The PTB and Pop main event, that is, or PTB and wrestling main event, even, because they had a new episode this week taking a look at WWE news and NJPW classic match picks. Nick, can't miss that one.
Yes, and now I am confused as to what Greg is reading from, but that's neither here nor there. We also got over on the Pop feed again, Andrew and Adam are back with a new NBA team podcast with a survey of the landscape and what seems to be on the horizon in their eyes.
Ah, yes. Well, see, Nick, I actually was looking at the wrong documentation here and would love for you to continue this segment moving forward.
Well, and also, not to mention, there was something else on the wrestling feed, Greg, that you know might be of interest to people. Not to toot our own horns, but toot. The debut of our brand new Pod Blast series, What If Wrestling? As you and I delved, it's a Pod Blast series, only about 20 minutes, about the length of this podcast, actually. As you and I delved into the topic of what would have happened had Ric Flair jumped to the WWF in 1988.
That is an outstanding point. And, you know, while we're talking about great things that people should listen to, what about Andrew and Adam, who are back with a brand new NBA team podcast?
Yeah, that same podcast that I just promoted a few moments ago. That's right, that one.
Well, I want to give it another plug, Nick. That's how much I believe in this podcast. I believe in their ability to survey the landscape and what seems to be on the horizon in their eye. God, is that a crime? Is that a crime, I ask you?
You know what is a crime? The fact that you and I both thought we should do the entire thing as a live read. That's a crime.
And you know what? Forget about all that because before we let you go off of here, we've got to remind you. We have no choice but to remind you to stop by the Geek and Sassy Facebook page where you can grab and complete a ballot for the second annual Sassy Awards.
Yes, the Sassy Awards, the second most prestigious award show on Place to Be Nation Pop.
Absolutely. And you can make your voice heard. That's right. You, the lowly listeners, can let your voices be heard in the Sassies. We want the votes. They want the votes. You know the right choices. Make them. Mm-hmm. With all that being said, Nick, my goodness gracious, we're running desperately out of time. It says here on my grandfather clock.
All right.
I mean, I don't know. What do you think? Are we running out of time?
I mean, we can go on for a couple minutes. I mean, you usually look at your grandfather clock for a specific purpose, don't you?
I do, but typically that's in the second half of the show.
Well, we don't have a second half of the show, damn it.
Oh, well, that's a good point. Well, I am looking at the grandfather clock again. It's embedded in the side of my car. And it says to me, there's a minute on the clock, Nick, and that can only mean one thing. A wrestling minute. My God, what's going on in the world of wrestling, Nick?
Well, King Kong Bundy died. King Kong Bundy died. Rest in peace. An underrated Hulk Hogan opponent, in my view, old King Kong Bundy. Yeah. Also, looking forward, an announcement of WrestleMania 36 coming to the Tampa, Florida area, which means you and I will be making our grand WrestleMania returns next year.
That's right. We may even be making an appearance at Hogan's Beach, right?
Hogan's Beach Shop. The nomenclature is important, Greg, as I often have to remind you. And then over on the actual television this week, had an interesting segment with Ronda Rousey as she seemingly turned heel, which is an interesting direction going into WrestleMania.
Yes, it does beg the question of what is the point of Charlotte then if Ronda is going to also be a heel? It does beg that question, does it not?
It does.
However, I thought, unlike some of them, I thought it was well done. Mm-hmm. I thought the beating was convincing as hell, and it got me hyped. I mean, I've already been invested in this story. I don't think it needed it, but I don't think it hurt it.
I don't either. So there you go.
And then the other big thing on Monday was what else? I feel like there was another big angle. Oh, the Shield reunion. I'm all for that, even though I'm sure it's going to lead to another split as soon as this Sunday. But I enjoyed it. I thought it was a good segment and a good, well-executed angle.
I would tend to agree, if it's sudden for my taste.
Yes. Well, they had no choice, you know, Nick, because they have to fit in four pay-per-views. I'm just kidding. Two pay-per-views between the Rumble and WrestleMania. It's vital.
It is absolutely vital to do so. So there's the wrestling minute. We have a run-in here from one of my children, so that's good.
Oh, that's good. That's good. Your children love the wrestling.
How did you get all the way to Canada? My lord.
I know.
Stowaway.
What the heck is their mother not watching them? Come on.
God, that would be ridiculous. But I guess that brings a close to the wrestling minute. And, of course, we're going to end the show, as we have done every week for some time now. And, Greg, if you saw this, but a couple of weeks ago, we had the Oscars, right? You know the Oscars? We had the Oscars.
Mm-hmm. I'm familiar, yes.
And
it's
there
award
was
a show.
It was.
They give out awards to movies.
To movies, yeah. And there was a musical performance on that award show that just set the world on fire. Had speculating about the private lives of well-known stars, you know, and it set the wheels in motion, Greg. I got thinking about, we have our very own duo here on the Hard Trailing Fanboys who, there's been some speculation about the nature of their relationship given their last performance together here on these airwaves back in around the Christmas time. And I thought, why don't we check on with them again? So here, once more, to do a little duet for you, we have both WWE Hall of Famer Jim Ross and two-time WWE Hall of Famer, the Nature Boy, Ric Flair. Fellas, take it away.
Well, Nick, before they jump in, they're communicating to me. There may be some difficulty in determining which lines belong to the to singer one and which lines belong to singer two.
Well, I'll say just use your own in artistic interpretation of that. I'm not an artist. I'm not the artist.
Nor was Prince Iaukea, for the record. All right, let's go. Let's bring him on in. Come on in, guys.
Quite frankly, I'm a little bit confused. I don't know what a Lady Gaga is. I don't know who Bradley Cooper is. They're not John Wayne. They're not Maureen O'Hara. I don't know who they are. Rick?
Well, you know, I'm happy to be here. You know, I had nowhere else to be. I was nothing happened in Dothan, Alabama a few weeks ago. But anyway, so I don't know. I don't know who they are either. But you know, Gaga, I think she knows my daughter. I think she knows Ashley, yeah. Yeah, they're friends. Oh, is that right? All right. Well, all right. We're just gonna wing it, Nate. We're gonna pretend that we're in a bar in Tokyo after Super Brawl in Land of the Rising Sun, and we're gonna just take it over right now. We're just gonna try to sing right now, like you have just had an encounter with Tatsumi Fujinami, the dragon. Anyway, now tell me something, girl. Are you happy in this modern world? Or do you need some more? Is there something else you're searching for? You know, I'm falling. And in the bad times, I fear myself. Tell me something, boy. Aren't you tired of trying to fill that void? Or do you need more? Now listen, it ain't hard keeping it so hardcore. I'm falling. In all the good times, I find myself longing for a change. You know, like when I remember Jim Herd wanted me to change my name. He wanted me to cut my hair and become Spartacus. He did. Put an earring in, one earring, call myself Spartacus. He did. And in the bad times, I fear myself. I'm off the deep end. Watch as I dive in just to the end of WCW, the best night of my life. It is best night of my entire career. Well, you know, I'll never meet the ground, crash through the surface where they can't hurt us. We are far from the shallow now, in the shallow, shallow, in the shallow, shallow. Well, in the shallow, shallow. Yeah, you're right. We're from the shallow now. Oh, yeah. I'm in the deep end. Watch as I dive in. I'll never meet the ground. Crash through the surface where they can't hurt us. We're far from the shallow now. You know, in the shallow, in the shallow, in the shallow, in the shallow. Yeah, in the shallow. In the shallow. We're far from the shallow now.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Place to Be Nation, JT Rosero and Chad Campbell here. We want to let you know that we have over 24 podcasts available on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and PlaceToBeNation.com. We now offer them to you on two great feeds. On the Place to Be Nation Wrestling feed, we dive into topics running the gamut from today's WWE to the glory days of yesteryear and the ins and outs of the territory days. In addition to our full-length shows, we also deliver to you special pod blasts on topics old and new.
The Place to Be Nation pop feed is a veritable treasure trove of great content, offering tremendous shows covering the land of movies, television, life, comics, and sports, brought to you by the most knowledgeable and insightful folks in the podcast world.
You can find all these great shows, plus archives of our past podcasts from over the past 8 years, as well by subscribing to both feeds on iTunes. And while you're there, be sure to rate and leave feedback as well. All of these shows, plus others, available on PlaceToBeNation.com, where we cover pro wrestling, sports, movies, comics, plus in-depth stretch projects, and much more. Be sure to support our site by using www.PlaceToBeNation.com/Amazon when doing your online shopping. We want to thank our friends at Boneheads, Wing Bar, ProWrestlingOnly.com, and TheHistoryOfWrestling.com as well. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Tumblr. PlaceToBeNation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture.